Yep. Awesome. I'm so excited for today. My wife has no idea who I'm talking to. So I'm gonna let her listen later. Like, I learned lots of fun things about food today. Mm. All right, well, we'll just do this. You ready? You have any questions for me before we start?
No, I'm good.
Cool. All right, let's do this one. Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Check Service Industry Podcast, where I talk about all things service industry related and whatever else I feel like talking about. My name is Rashawn Parker, and if you haven't yet, please go watch my television series now streaming on Amazon Prime and Fox's Tubi TV, Beyond the Check Worker Owner Edition, where I go hang out with some fantastic chef owners, find out about their lives, the history of the restaurants, and of course, we cook up and try some of the best dishes they have to offer. I have a fantastic guest today. She is an author. She loves everything food and sexy about food. She has several books out there, some fantastic titles too. Fork Me, Spoon Me, Romancing the Stove, Eat Cake Naked, and if you can find it anywhere, Chili Aphrodisia. Ladies and gentlemen, the fantastic Amy Riley.
Hi.
Hi, Amy.
I like the way you say eat cake naked.
That seems like now it's the only way that I ever want to eat cake.
As you should.
So thanks for being here.
Of course.
What in the world got you into, well, let's just start. Tell me about yourself. Tell me a little about what you do and who you are.
Wow. Okay. So obviously I write about aphrodisiac foods. I do, you know, I've always loved food. I always loved cooking. I was one of those kids who would come home from school and bake cookies. It's just my thing.
So, did you take them to your friends' houses?
Okay. Yeah.
You're the best friend.
Sometimes. Some I didn't want to share, you know, some I just ate, but, anyway, I started out actually working as a wine writer. Mm. My first job after college was in a tasting room in Sonoma County.
I was born in Sonoma.
Yeah. You're kidding. No. Well, I was working in Healdsburg, but, and living in Santa Rosa. Huh. From there, I went on to writing about wine. And then, you know, I wanted to write about more. I was really interested in food. So I got my master's degree in gastronomy from Le Cordon Bleu. Mm-hmm. And I was really interested in sort of getting people more excited about making great food choices. And I thought, well, how do you get people excited about eating better food? And I, you know, not just like higher quality food, but more nutritious food. And I thought, well,
you make it sexy.
You know, you get them. Yes, exactly. And so I started while I was at Cordon Bleu. We got to do a lot of self-directed study. So anytime we had the opportunity, I studied either aphrodisiacs or the relationship between food and sex, which in fact was the topic of my dissertation.
Cool.
And while I was working on my dissertation, I got a phone call from a writer. And he said, I'm looking to interview Amy Riley. I'm so-and-so. I'm writing an article for National Geographic. And I understand she's the leading authority on aphrodisiac foods. So, of course, I said, oh, yeah, that's me.
Sure is.
And it was published in National Geographic, and it just snowballed from there.
Wow. Good thing you picked that for your dissertation. How many dissertations end up going into, you know, actual publication that people would want to read, you know, right?
That people would want to read, exactly. Yes.
Well, that's amazing. So, I mean, wine is obviously very sensual, you know, in and of itself. So, did you do a lot of wine pairings with your food as you, when you, you know, because you had such the wine background as well?
I mean, I will, you know, if someone asks like about a specific recipe, so I'm the editorial director of a website called Eat Something Sexy. And we have a woman who writes wine, you know, wine reviews, and often she'll connect up, oh, try it with this recipe or that recipe. And sometimes I'll pull from my recipes and say, hey, try it with this wine she reviewed, you know, we'll kind of go back and forth that way. But for the most part, no, I don't say serve this dish with a Cabernet, because if you know much about wine at all, you know that Cabernets are all so different. And also people's preferences are so different. And especially if you don't like red wine and I'm telling you, you have to have a Cabernet with this dish, it's like, it's never going to work. It's, you know, so no, I tend to stay away from that unless it's a very specific pairing.
Nice. Do you remember one of the first dishes that got you thinking about the sensuality of food? Was there something that just was the original inspiration of like that could be really sensuous, and like that brownie if it was, or you know, cooking with flowers, or I don't know.
No, it's funny. Number one, no, there isn't, and number two, no one's ever asked me that before. I'm totally unprepared for that question. No.
All right. Do you remember the first thing that you, I mean, besides cookies, I mean, obviously you were a baker as a kid. Do you remember one of your favorite dishes to make, or maybe your mom's favorite dish that she used to make you?
Oh, this is so weird and not sexy. I love to make tofu meatballs.
Whoa. As a child.
And I still have the recipe, and they are delicious. Yes. I didn't like red meat that much. And my mom found this recipe for this thing called tofu, which, by the way, they did not sell in our town. She had to get the grocery store to special order it.
Wow.
I grew up in a small town in Western Pennsylvania. Yeah. And, you know, as you know, tofu tastes like nothing. So
you got to get all the water out if you really want to.
Right. Get all the water. This recipe, it was with, you know, it had like whole wheat breadcrumbs and all kinds of herbs and spices. So it was quite delicious.
I mean, I would like to try them now. I'm perpetually trying to eat less and less meat. I'll try to eat one, because my wife is very picky too. So once a week we have meat, or try to, and you know, we fail, you know.
Oh,
on the regular, but the point is that we're trying.
Yeah, you gotta try.
So what do I'm super curious about the tofu meatballs now though. what do you remember the seasonings? Do you remember the recipe at all?
Yeah, I haven't made it in years. I know there was a lot of thyme and oregano.
A lot of thyme and oregano.
And that is all I can recall.
And they
which
held together.
Are aphrodisiac. Yeah. Yes. So it was egg and breadcrumb.
Egg and breadcrumb.
Held it all together.
Egg, breadcrumb, tofu, seasonings.
It's delicious. It really
tofu
was.
Tofu balls.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay. And then today, what's one of your favorite things to make if you're going to be home for dinner at home?
Ooh. I have a recipe in Romancing the Stove. It is a lasagna that uses, have you ever seen the thin, no pre-cooked lasagna noodles?
So oh, yeah, easy. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like these kind of light layers. It's a mushroom and truffle salt lasagna that is not only so delicious, but also so healthy that you could just eat the whole pan.
It's so healthy you can eat the whole
pan. Really, really good one. Yes, exactly. It's so delicious. You will eat the whole pan, and so healthy you can.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look that one up and make that. So.
Good. Yay.
So let's talk sensual foods. What makes the food sensual? And or how is it more of the act of like togetherness with the food? Or is it the food itself that is an aphrodisiac component in it?
There are so many ways to answer this.
All right.
I try to take sort of the, you know, a whole perspective. Absolutely. And it honestly comes down to what works for the person. When I am thinking about a recipe or dish, I I believe that it should have multiple textures and temperatures. Mm-hmm. I think it's more exciting. It's more sensual. It heightens your awareness. It can kind of pull you into the now.
The creamy, the crunchy.
You know, because there's so many things going on that you kind of have to pay more attention, and that can help pull you into the now, which is really one of our biggest problems with romance. It maybe for a lot of people isn't so necessarily that you need to layer your plate with famous aphrodisiacs. It's more that you need to be present.
Okay.
The aphrodisiacs can help, but if you're present, that's going to go a long way. And then, of course, there's always the power of suggestion. It hasn't been really studied in the context of aphrodisiacs to be able to say what works or how, or what percentage of people for whom it works or any of that. We know it's true. We know that if someone tells you you're eating an aphrodisiac,
we'll do.
You know, it sets that tone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Of course. I also, my company, we did a survey years ago, and it's published on Eat Something Sexy. About what people consider a romantic gift. What's a romantic food? What's a romantic gift? A huge percent, I think like 80% of people said chocolate. Chocolate is a romantic gift. This is what you give people. And so, of course, if you're receiving chocolate as a romantic gift, it's going to have more meaning. It's going to be more effective than just eating the chocolate.
And chocolate does actually get you high. Right,
so chocolate, well, yeah, if you eat,
it's theorized,
it's theorized you'd probably like go into a diabetic coma before you eat enough chocolate to reach that euphoric state that is possible.
Okay.
It is possible.
So my mom's full of shit, yeah, is what you're saying.
No, it is. There are definitely, chocolate is one of the most complex foods that exists. It's full of all sorts of chemical compounds that we don't even begin to understand, many of which we know are linked with the release of happy hormones and you know, altering mood as well.
And
as
the sugar.
Increasing energy. There's also sugar. So it does have all of these things. We just don't know if you could really eat enough.
And is the second one perchance strawberries?
Strawberries also, it's funny, I was just doing a little bit of research on strawberries right before we started talking. Oh. So strawberries, yeah, strawberries are also definitely linked historically, and it does have that emotional connection. But strawberries have plenty of nutrients that are going to support sexual health. So it may be when you're eating those strawberries that you're not going to get some immediate, feel this immediate need to tear off your clothes.
Unless you're making eye contact with the person while
and having strawberries dipped in chocolate.
And then you combine it with the chocolate, and this chocolate-covered strawberry is probably the most iconic, sensual food, like at least in pop culture.
That, oysters. Possibly champagne. Yeah.
Well, oysters, champagne, and chocolate-covered strawberries.
Mm-hmm. And there's your whole meal. You just made your Valentine's meal.
You're getting laid tonight.
Yep. That's it.
Oh, okay.
You've got a plan.
Yeah. So strawberries just generally really good for you then?
Strawberry is generally really good for you. Yeah, absolutely. It's low calorie. It's got lots of, believe it or not, water and fiber are important to your sex life. It's also got, you know, antioxidants and other things that are going to support heart health and sexual health. Yeah.
Is there an off the wall food that people just would never think that like that is actually like an aphrodisiac food that just we wouldn't think would possibly be one?
Okay. Horrible historic aphrodisiacs that kind of make me go, but like a food that you would never, the food that you eat all the time and would never think, peanuts.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Peanuts. I have a list of the 10 best foods for women's sexual health, which is one of the most popular sections on eatsomethingsexy.com. And
I bet
the list for men's health is even more popular.
Because the wives are the one looking at that too.
Peanuts are one of the best foods for women's sexual health. And it's great because it's plant-based protein and all those things we just talked about. So, yeah.
The friends here. Friends. You want to see Teddy? Teddy, come here.
Oh.
There's the chihuahua.
Hi.
That's Bones' best buddy.
These little bat ears.
Yeah. They're just going to go hump the day away now. That's,
of course.
Everything's sensual for those two.
Absolutely.
They have the cutest little gay lovers. Sugar? And she gets very jealous. Sugar gets very jealous when she doesn't get to play.
Poor Sugar.
Because Teddy takes up all her bubber's time. And so she gets to hang out with me.
Poor Sugar. Yeah.
So she's going to hang out with us.
Okay.
So you want to learn about sensual foods? You have any sensual foods for dogs? Like, what do we?
They don't need them.
They're good to go.
Yep.
So you have a dog. Do you have any fun little dog restaurants around you? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. Now, to be honest, my friend right now, I am just fostering. I have had dogs. As far as dog restaurants, no, we don't. There's one dog bakery, but no.
Oh, there's a dog bakery.
Dog restaurants.
That'll do.
There is a dog bakery.
That'll do. I'm always enamored by restaurants that just literally straight catered to dogs first and people second.
Right.
Because
yes, we have a cat cafe around.
You
the corner
have a
from
cat
us.
Cafe. Those are even rarer.
Yeah. Right.
So people could,
never been, can't speak to it, but
never been. Oh. But people just take their cats to have their coffee, work on their laptops.
No, they go there to have coffee with cats that are already there.
Oh, well, that's even crazier. I mean, I guess it's calming, right?
Cuddle time.
Right, cuddle time.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you're not
exactly.
allowed to have pets in your apartment, and you know, mm-hmm. so you can go down the street and just hang out, have coffee, and pet some kitties.
Yep.
I have a friend who would probably really be into that.
There you go.
He loves cats. Can't have them.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, you know, it's probably great for your mood, and why not?
I mean, I'd go to one with puppies. I guess the problem is that people think puppies are super cute, and then puppies turn into dogs. And then do people really want to go to a dog cafe? I think they still would. I think they still would. If you get little dogs, they always look like puppies.
That's true. You may have a new business. this might be opening a dog cafe soon.
I mean, you'd have to make it bigger, I think. There'd have to be like a whole little dog park so you can like go and play tug with them and like, you know. Or even, you know, for a place for like parents to like bring their kids if they're scared of dogs to like get their first introduction with a bunch of, you know, super friendly. You know, they're not strangers. They're trained, like, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, maybe we're onto something here.
You might have it. You might have something.
Anyway. So you've been doing this for a good little while.
Yeah, I have.
What are some of the things that I imagine you talk to a lot of people about this. Has anybody ever led you down a path to something that someone else has taught you along the way that was like one of the most that just took you in a whole new path ever? Crazy question, right?
No.
You never like at a dinner party and someone's just like, I made this crazy thing. And you're just like that.
Oh, I always take notes when people tell me these things and I remember them. I'll remember other people's anecdotes to like talk about. Well, there's this one guy who he was so nervous about his first date. So he looked up aphrodisiacs from some, you know, weird book he found at the library and he made fish with mango sauce. And
yeah, like people are, you know, trying to give you advice.
Know, things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and it was amazing. Yeah.
I just file it all away so I can.
Fish sauce, you know, and mangoes.
Entertain people with it later.
Check.
Fish, white fish with mango sauce.
Oh,
see, I still remember.
White fish with mango sauce.
He married her.
He married her.
Mm-hmm.
I used to make a thing. I used to call my panty dropper steak.
Oh. And it worked?
Pretty much every time, yeah. It was really the sauce for the ribeye. It was the mushroom and onion sauce, I think, that really, you know, because the steak's a steak, right? But the sauce is what really brought the whole thing together.
I actually, I advise against serving steak for a romantic dinner.
Yes, let's go down a list of things not to do. What?
Yeah, that would be one of them at the top.
So don't eat steak. Have you seen the documentary? I can't remember the name of it, but they were talking. They're talking about virility and meat versus plant diets, right?
Right.
And it turns out that meat is actually an anti-aphrodisiac.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, I mean, the reason that I recommend not doing it is because red meat, beef in particular is well, not just beef, but it's harder. It's hard to digest. The protein is hard for your body to break down. The blood goes to your stomach. Your body's working hard on breaking down protein at a time when you want to be
energetic.
Getting your blood flowing for other things, and you want to be energetic. You don't want to be sleepy and have everything slowed down, and you don't want all your blood going to your stomach. So, I say skip it.
So would that also include like heavy pastas?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So really,
I mean, it's not as hard to digest, but it does slow you down. And why do that? Have a lighter meal.
All right.
If you're planning on any sort of aerobic activity after dinner, say,
right? Like, you don't want to eat a whole pizza and then go to the gym either, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's the same idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not saying have a protein shake for your romantic dinner, but have a lighter
meal. Let's make a sexy salad together. Do you want to make a sexy salad together?
Yeah. If you can make a sexy salad.
Make a sexy salad. Right now, let's make a sec.
Avocado.
All right. Kale.
What do you want to add? I mean, you could, but you've got to massage it.
Well, that could be fun in the process of making it too, right? Like massaging the kale together.
I do encourage, that is a great activity for couples. If you both enjoy it, cooking together, making the meal together can be a fantastic start to the evening. Not just because somebody's helping you make dinner, which always feels good, but because you can kind of get in this sort of rhythm together. You can kind of get in each other's zone. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's nice. So what are we having? We're having massaged kale with avocado.
What else are we throwing in there? What you got?
What do you think?
I don't know. I went next, so it's your turn.
Oh, so like a traditional French vinaigrette with, mustard is an aphrodisiac.
Mustard, really?
Mm-hmm. So a Dijon mustard vinaigrette, that's a nice light dressing.
Cucumbers?
Yes. Cucumber, the phallic food, of course. We'll throw in some cucumber.
I just have to have carrots in any salad, so carrots.
Carrots, also a phallic also food, a phallic so food. Why not?
Light, good for you.
Mm-hmm. We could throw in some like nuts or seeds for that, a little extra protein. Omega-3 fatty acids, which will improve your mood. Not a bad thing when you're...
All right. Some peanuts.
So that could work. Not peanuts. Peanuts are not going to go with kale and mustard. No. That's
sesame seeds?
Sesame seeds would be fine. Sesame seeds, all right. Walnuts will work.
Should we candy them? I feel like we should candy them. No?
I don't know. Candied walnuts with cucumbers and carrots.
No? Are we not doing that? No? Okay, not candied.
It's just flavor-wise.
We just want a robust, earthy nut flavor.
Yes. Right. Yeah, we're going earthy. We're going earthy nuts. Masculine.
Yeah. Craisins. No?
Okay. Yeah, we could do
actually, no craisins. Okay. Currants. Let's go currants.
Currants. How sophisticated. Yes. So throw in some currants. Excellent.
All right, I like it. I think.
Great. What are we having? What are we having with this sexy salad? Are we having a glass of wine?
Rosé, perchance?
We're going to have a rosé with it. This is lovely. Are we, what are we having? Are we going to have a protein on the side? Maybe a little duck breast or something?
Something lighter. Duck sounds good. Even with the rosé, we don't have to change wines.
Wild game is historically aphrodisiac.
Ah, but not a buffalo. We're sticking with the white meats. Right.
Well, you could. I mean, actually, bison, I always recommend bison as an alternative to beef. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not as gamey as deer, and it's you know, it's actually not bad.
Right. Right. I love it personally.
I've never gotten into the ground turkey thing. I've always tried, but I just,
Not exciting. Nah.
You know what I really love though? Are the Morningstar chick patties. You know, the vegetarian.
Yes.
So I found during my vegetarian stints that I really enjoy vegetarian junk food. Because sure. I don't like the designer meat. It's got a weird flavor. Like I can't.
Oh, like the impossible.
Yeah. And I've tried many, many times to like it, and I want to like it so bad. Even though it's still vegetarian junk food, but I really prefer just like a black bean burger, right? Traditional real food made into a patty is way better and flavor wise because it doesn't have that very strange, like not natural. I don't know what the hell that back taste is, but like it's strange.
I think it's like onion powder or something like that. There's some.
I don't think it's beet.
Yes, I know.
It's just strange. I can't get past it. I'm very much looking forward to growing the chicken once Singapore gets done with their trials and if the FDA actually allows us to do that. Because then we can stop killing stuff and still get our cancer from our chicken, but we won't have to kill anything.
Wonderful. What about the eggs, though?
Still need the eggs. I hear the eggs. Eggs are probably sensual, though. Yeah? Would you say?
Of course. Of course. Symbol of fertility and all that. Yes.
Runny.
Caviar as well.
Nice runny, gooey
egg.
Yeah. Caviar for sure. Yes. Right. Super bad.
Oh, yeah.
Super bad for you, right? Like an egg is...
No, not at all. No? Not at all. That was a phase. Because of the cholesterol. Eggs are encouraged. I mean, obviously you can't eat a 5-egg omelet every day, but you also shouldn't eat, you know, a 6-ounce steak every day either.
It's all about moderation, I think. And we need to eat, you know, our plates in America are backwards. And if we just could flip them, we'd be okay. But
yeah,
alas, Arby's wants us to eat the meats, so they do. But have you heard that like one egg is the equivalent of a pack of cigarettes? Have you ever heard that?
No, no.
Oh, what the health?
No.
What the health just screams this at you like a crazy. So it's hard to watch because every time I watch that movie, I don't like that movie because you can't live your life like that as much as you want to. It's almost impossible not to eat something that's been processed. Yeah. Right. Right. It's just on a daily, if you live a busy life, it's impossible.
I understand. No, it is very hard. I'm trying to think what I ate today. What processed food have I had? I had chocolate. I had a piece of chocolate. So processed food.
I had a bagel and cream cheese.
No. No.
It was an everything bagel too. So it was all kind of stuff.
I love a good everything bagel.
They really are good.
Yes.
I'm traditionally just a plain bagel guy, but there's some everything bagels in my house right now, so I went for it. They're good. They're good.
Sounds good.
What's your favorite breakfast food?
Ooh, breakfast foods. Gosh, I really like breakfast foods. It's my favorite
blueberry meal. Pancakes are one of my top favorite things of all time.
Ooh, delicious. You know blueberries are aphrodisiac.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you could have set.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of breakfast foods are.
That's why brunch is such a hit then. You get the sexy champagne.
Yeah.
So there's always strawberries. Mm-hmm. There's probably blueberries involved. There's lots of fruit.
One would
brunch
hope.
Is a hot, hot meal. Yeah,
it's a good meal.
Yeah, that
is. It is. And especially you're day drinking. So you just want to go home and go to bed. Right. I mean, it invites doing nothing but spending the rest of the day in bed. It's kind of perfect. I don't have the time for that. I can't remember the last time I ate brunch either.
I think that's why they do it on Sundays, because they figure Sunday's hopefully going to be the wash day anyway. So, and you're not going to church. Yeah. So you might as well come have brunch and then go home and have Zach and sleep the day away. Watch Netflix.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Before Monday.
Before Monday, yeah.
Yep, that explains.
Happy Monday.
That explains a lot about our culture.
Yes.
Why is brunch so big? That's why.
That's why.
It gives everyone a chance to just fuck off. We don't care. It's okay. It's not Saturday. I don't have to get dressed up later and go do something with my friends or my family or my husband. You know, like, I don't have to go to a play later. It's not Friday.
Yep. It's Sunday.
And I'm not going to church. That took up everybody's time before. Everybody's, you know, you spend your whole day praying. There was no time for like sexy food time. I mean, unless, of course, you considered the priest sticking that little piece of cracker in your mouth hot, but probably not.
Oh my gosh. There was wine involved too.
Anyway, before we end up all the way down that road. You married?
I am.
Does your husband cook with you?
Nope.
Cool. My wife does not cook with me at all either. In fact, watching her try to cook is just super frustrating.
my husband doesn't even. He's too embarrassed, I guess, to even try. I've seen him open a can of speaking of processed foods. I've seen him open a can of soup and eat it.
Did he warm it up first, or did he just go straight out of the can?
Oh no, out of the can into the microwave. Okay, yeah. I taught him how to cover the dish too.
So it didn't splatter the microwave.
It used to be like yeah.
Jordan can make spaghetti. It's the one dish that she there's nothing special about it. It's just the meat and sauce and noodles. But it's good. I can't get on rare occasion. I have hip surgery literally on Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm getting another hip replacement. I already have one.
I'm
getting the other one. Oh, no. Like, I'll finally not suffer every day.
You're going to be moving.
Yeah, I can put my sock on the new one now, right? But still to this day, she has to cut my toenails. And she has to put my sock on. She finally got tired of that and bought me one of those plastic sock putter on her things. You like put the sock over the holder.
It works?
Yeah. She doesn't have to do that anymore.
But soon you'll be doing it yourself.
I got like 2 months and I will be able to do all of it all by myself finally after.
You can cook and put on socks. Right.
Point is though, perfect. Last hip time I had surgery, she made me breakfast, lunch, and dinner the day I got home.
Okay. Nice.
And then the next day, and the next day, and the next, I cooked for myself again. So
I thought you were going to tell me you starved.
No, I didn't starve. I just got up and did it myself. I'm also very stubborn, but yeah. So those are the three meals. Aww. And I think that's the last time she cooked for me. So I'm looking forward to Wednesday. I get my three meals again.
You do. That is exciting. I can't imagine if my daughter, who is six, I think she was five at the time, said one day, "Mom, if I make everyone breakfast, lunch, and dinner, can I sleep in your bed?" So like we were going to trade beds.
Oh.
I was like, sure, thinking this will never happen. She did it.
At six? Five?
I think everybody got a bowl of cereal for breakfast, check. Right? Lunch? Probably
jelly?
Bread or something. Yeah, I don't know. And then I can't even remember what she did.
SpaghettiOs.
For dinner. Oh, maybe she got her brother to help her like microwave some macaroni or something. I don't remember, but she did it. She got three meals on the table. I slept in her bed.
She gets your room all to herself?
No, she slept with daddy.
Wow.
She took my place.
She literally
bed.
Kicked you out of the bed. She's like,
yes, we traded. Yes.
That's fun, though.
She was so happy. Yes.
Room swap with the kids.
Yep.
So has she cooked since then? Since she's gotten a little older?
She likes to bake with me.
She's like that. You. She makes the cookies.
Mostly she's like crafty. She'd rather decorate things.
Christmas time, her favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Gingerbread houses. A lot of gingerbread houses happening.
Yes, they do. And then, and then like 3 weeks later, the kids will eat that. I'm like, what? Why would you eat that?
Yeah. They like stale gumdrops.
Yes, apparently.
Well, they're all tangled up in my headphone cord.
Hey,
boy. Come on now. Oh, no. There's two of them caught. Oh, no. All right. Oh, we're free.
All right. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you should try walking all four of them. It's fun.
Oh, no, thanks. Oh,
there's nothing more frustrating than trying to walk four dogs on a leash. I would rather hang out with, like, 4 2-year-olds in a living room.
Oh, yeah, you say that. No, no. No.
For 5 minutes.
For 5 minutes. Oh, okay. Okay. Sure.
No problem at all. So your mom, what's your, like, go-to? My sister, I just had her on, and we talked a lot about what she's making her kids for lunches these days. What are your kids having for lunches these days? I'm all about kids' lunches for some reason.
I'm the mean parent. I make them eat school lunch.
Oh.
Speaking of processed food.
Some schools are getting better, though. Some schools are getting better. Not yours?
So ours, we don't actually have, like, there's no place to cook. There is an outdoor cafe, which is a place where they can warm things and hand it to children.
Well, at least they're not having that school lunch pizza. You remember the pizza? Like, that pizza was around, forever. And I'm pretty sure it still exists in certain places still. But they did away with a lot of it. Like, they got rid of all the, like, crappy chicken nuggets across the country. And,
right.
And they I think that pizza's gone. And I think the french fries are gone. Which is, you know.
I think so. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you look at, like, Asian schools. Because I think school lunch is a big predictor of, like, what your society, what the health of your society is. Right? Like, what are your kids eating? What are you feeding your kids? I think matters, like, most of all. And you look at, you know, China's school lunches, and they're like super healthy little Bota boxes of, like, you know, there's nothing processed in there at all.
Then
you look at, you know, a 1970s school lunch in America, and you're just like, holy shit. What? That's not even so food.
No.
Nothing sexy about that.
For the most part, I think my children don't really eat it. I send them with a snack, usually like a piece of cheese and a piece of fruit. And
you just described my wife's daily lunch.
Oh, really? A piece of cheese and a piece of fruit?
Yeah. Apple fruit crackers.
Fruit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm a big peanut butter and jelly. I try to buy the natural peanut butter and jelly, so it's like a superfood instead of a sugar food.
Yeah.
And then I slap jam on it, which just obviously is going to add the sugar back in. But it's delicious, and I'm not eating meat, and you're getting your protein. Yeah. So a peanut butter and jelly sandwich is...
Well, I told you, peanut butter, sexy food, good for your food.
And jelly, too.
One of the best foods for women's health. Well, jelly is not exactly one of the best foods for your health, but...
No, but it's good.
Tastes good.
It's strawberry jelly. It's just, you know, come on.
It's got pieces of strawberry in it, too.
Yeah, I get the jam. I get the chunky stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Peanut butter and jelly, it's not just for kids anymore.
It never was.
No, it's so good. I think adults forget, because you go years sometimes without having a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Or I have.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And then you're like, oh my God, why have I not had one of these in so long? And you have one and you're like, God damn, this is delicious. Why haven't I eaten this? And then you find out it's actually really good for you, too. You know, for the most part.
Well, we eat ours on whole wheat, so.
I get the good bread.
You know, they are actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gotta get the good bread. We're adults now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I make my kids don't even eat. I don't think they've ever eaten white bread other than like a baguette.
Yeah, but you gotta have a French bread roll every once in a while. Or a croissant. Oh, yeah. You know, croissant.
Well, a pizza dough or a bagel they've had, but not like a loaf of white bread. Nope.
Wonder bread. I wonder, is it bread?
Nope. I wonder.
I'm pretty sure it's not. No. Okay. I want to talk about the titles of your books.
Okay.
How did you come up with Fork Me, Spoon Me?
So that was my first book. And I was on the phone. I was having a lot of negative conversations, like with my editor at the publisher's office, like with friends in marketing. I just kept hearing, you can't, don't. And I remember I got off the phone with someone and I just went, oh, fork you. Wait.
Fork you. That's
oh, fork you.
Right.
But I was like, no, fork me. Fork me. So, yeah. That's it.
And then the spoon me part was obvious. But,
well, yeah.
Fork me, spoon me. And obviously, one of the best movies of all time is Romancing the Stone. And if you haven't watched that, millennials, you need to go back, because the mudslide scene at the beginning is probably one of the funniest and most sensual scenes in a movie.
Okay. Good one.
That was my mom's favorite scene, like any movie ever. It was just that mudslide when he lands down in her crotch, right? And it was just like,
yeah.
the airplane scene, the downed airplane when they make the fire. That's a campfire. So you were a fan of this movie.
One of the best, one of the best movies, one of the best aphrodisiac cookbooks, you know, Romancing the Stone.
Right, which is about a romance author and romance in and of itself.
Yes.
You know, if you're going to take your stove on a date, you might, don't take her to Cartagena.
Good point.
Right? But I love that, like, you know, Romancing the Stove. It's making, you know, love in your kitchen, to your kitchen. Like,
yes, it's both. Yeah, that was kind of the recipes in that book. They are my favorite. If you get any of my books purely for the recipes, not the information, it has great recipes. And it was about, you know, it is about, like,
that's the one with the lasagna, right?
Loving cooking things that are fun to cook and that are delicious, as well as things that are aphrodisiac and
fun to cook with somebody if you can get someone to do it with you.
Exactly.
Awesome. Okay. Eat cake naked.
Eat cake naked.
Eat cake naked.
Yeah, it's funny. My book designer said, you're a little bossy. You like titles that tell people what to do. Fork me.
Right.
Eat cake naked. Yeah.
You're the dominatrix of sensual fooding.
Yeah. Eat cake naked. Eat cake naked, it's a dessert book. Yes. It's all baking. It's all desserts. As you know, I love baking. And I worked with a nutritional expert. She's been the nutrition expert for Eat Something Sexy for a long time. Her name's Delana Flagg. She actually did a show with Pamela Anderson. The two of them did a show called The Sensual Vegan.
Oh, really?
About making vegan food sexy. Yeah. And then she and I did this book, Eat Cake Naked.
Eat Cake Naked. What's your favorite dessert in there?
Ooh.
Or top three.
Oh my gosh. I know number one. There is a key lime pie in there.
Key lime pie.
That is like, I don't want to say like, if you don't like key lime pie, you're going to like it. Cause if you don't like key lime pie, you're not going to like key lime pie. But
it's one of your favorites.
But if you have any eating key lime pie, it's amazing. It is my favorite. It's got, there are macadamia nuts in the crust. So the crust is kind of like salted macadamia. So it's like crunchy and salty. And
you got the nice smooth creaminess of the actual like cake.
Yeah, see the difference too. In textures. Well, yeah. Just a little. But yes, absolutely.
And it's okay. You can eat the key lime pie naked too, though, right? That's just making sure.
I mean, yes, you can eat pie naked too. Yes, of course.
Just had to make sure that was a thing.
Yes, definitely.
Awesome. And your first book, Chili Aphrodisia, was it about chili?
It was an entire book dedicated to the idea of chili as an aphrodisiac, all recipes, foods with chili, and lots of information on all the reasons that chili peppers are actually one of like the best aphrodisiacs. They're great for you, but they are one of the best aphrodisiacs.
So just like 101 things to do with chilies?
Oh yeah, pretty much. Yeah. But you know, chilies are like, if you want a food to actually seduce someone, you want to plan this romantic meal and the person likes spice, do not do this. If they don't enjoy spicy food, it would be absolutely terrible. But if they do, chili peppers are one of the best foods to add to your meal because they raise your body temperature. They make your tongue tingle. They make your lips plump up, which I've read some psychological studies. They believe that it will, you know, the person across the table from you, that'll become, make you more attractive. Your cheeks will flush, which in the mind of someone who's turned on will equate to a sexual flush. Right. And if you eat enough, you can even have like a release of endorphins. So chili's great food for sex.
Damn. Nailed it. Awesome. That has been so insightful, Amy. Thank you so much.
Anytime. Ginger is right up there, too.
Ginger, too.
Yes. If you need a more subtle heat, ginger will help.
A nice stir fry with some sensual vegetables.
Yum. Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Definitely some chilies in there. Throw carrots.
Your carrots, yes. Carrots. You can throw your cucumbers in, too. Right. I know it's a fruit.
We're gonna pickle, pickle them a little first, just a little bit. So.
Oh, you're going to pickle
them. We're going Thai now. We're going Thai.
Lovely.
Awesome. You want to give some shout-outs? Where can people follow you and find your books?
Oh, sure. So best place if you actually want to talk to me and get a response from me is Twitter. I tweet. At Fork Me, Spoon Me, of course. All my books are distributed throughout the U.S. and Canada and some of Europe. But Amazon is a great place to go to get them, both print and ebook version. Or you could even go to your favorite local bookstore, support a local business. They probably won't have it in stock, but they can order it for you. So that's a great way. Any of Romancing the Stove or Fork Me, Spoon Me.
And you're keeping bookstores alive. Naked.
I'd like to. I'd really like to. Eat Cake Naked is actually just an ebook, but it's available in all the ebook formats. So any, you know, wherever you like to get your ebooks, that works. Chili Aphrodisia. I don't know. I was told it was sold a lot in airports in the Southwest. sort of that like take home a souvenir kind of book. I'm sure it's out there. If you're into chilies, it might be a good investment. And
you might be able to find it used on Amazon maybe too.
And then if you want to find more ingredients and more recipes and maybe some wine ideas and everything, go to eatsomethingsexy.com. It sounds just like,
I'm going to be there every day now.
I hope you are.
I'm definitely. I'm subscribing. Do I get a newsletter? Can I subscribe?
There is. I have a monthly newsletter. It's called Aphrodisiac of the Month.
Cool.
And I just tell you about an ingredient every month just for fun.
Awesome. Everybody go subscribe to Amy's newsletter and keep it sensual every month. Amy, thank you so much for hanging out with me today. It's been enlightening, inspiring, and very sensual.
Thank you for having me.
I'm gonna go make that salad for lunch now.
Perfect. Happy Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day. Yay, this will actually air right about Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. All right, go get Amy's books, Fork Me, Spoon Me, Romancing the Stove, and download the Eat Cake Naked ebook, and then you can eat cake naked with whoever you want. I highly recommend it. Ladies and gentlemen, Amy Riley, thank you so much, darling.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a lovely day. Everyone else, go watch my TV show.